for our eternal home. We just heard a song. The songwriter had made that into a beautiful song, invitation. He bids us all, come on home. So let's look at the final preparation. Where this morning I'm going to be able to cover just a portion of one day in the life of Christ. If we would say we'll cover the whole day, impossible. It would take weeks, and we'll never even get through all he accomplished in one day. That day we're going to be looking at would be the day that he was going to make final preparations to go to the cross. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 22 and Mark 14, Luke 22, Matthew 26, rather. But let's go to Luke. We won't have time to read all the accounts. They're all synonymous. In Luke chapter 22, we're going to see, the scripture tells us about the beginning that we know of that day. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ may have stayed up all night long. He had done that on other occasions, praying to the Father out on the hillsides, wherever he was. Now he's in Jerusalem. He has gone there because he realizes that the next day, he had everything planned. God had everything planned before the foundation of the world. And as we look at this day, the day before he was crucified, I want to have every one of us look at our lives. One day it will be the last day we're here on earth. And then, of course, there'll be the preceding day before that last day. I don't know about you, but when I plan my days as best I can, you know, trying to ask the Lord what he'd have me do that day, I have a lot of anticipations what I will get done. I don't remember that I have ever accomplished even a portion of what I would have liked to have done. But Jesus was not like that. He accomplished everything that he had planned to do and the Father had prepared for him. Everything. And the account that we'll read will be the 22nd division of Luke. And let's look at verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. He had planned for that day a long time. Preparations when the children of Israel were in bondage. And the Lord showed them that he was going to deliver them out. And the way he was going to make deliverance was through the blood. And they would shed the blood of a lamb and put upon the doorpost. Of course, that lamb represented Jesus Christ, and he is the lamb. And now for many, many years, the Jews have been carrying on the Passover tradition. The day the death angel passed over us and gave us new life. Now Jesus is fulfilling that because he was a lamb. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Isn't that something? The priest that's supposed to be carrying out the traditions that God told them about the Passover, celebrating and giving praise and honor to God for deliverance that he has given them, his forefathers back in the land of Egypt, pointing to Christ Jesus, and now they're trying to kill him, that lamb. Of course, this was all in the plan of God. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of a number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. They were glad and coveted to give him money. He promised and saw opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, which a Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. So we see, first of all, that day began by understanding, and Jesus knew what Judas Iscariot was up to. He knew before he ever appointed him. The whole scripture had said, and of course, God, Father, through the Son, had already told the prophets what to write about one that was going to be of his own. And all that, and God had arranged everything, every detail. And now God has also arranged your life and mine. Let's keep that in the forefront of our mind as we look at Jesus' day, the fulfillment of his day, and he has also fulfilled and planned your day and mine. And I hope as we're preaching the message this morning, he will bring to your memory and to my mind and let us maybe see a little bit of glimpse what he would have us do. Could be the last day. It could be the next to the last day. We don't know. But let's look at Jesus. It will encourage us. That particular day, the day before he was going to be offered up as a sacrifice, we saw it was a preparation for the Passover. Then it was a Passover meal. And then we see in Luke chapter 22 also the disciples, not only the chief priests are going about trying to figure out a way of killing Jesus, but his own disciples are fuming and fussing. Who will be the greatest? Jesus knew of all that. And Jesus also is aware of you and I today, how we are maybe not putting him first in their life. We're letting other details, other things be more important to us. And this day that we have, and we do have this day, he has given us this day to prepare our heart. He has spent his life now, all of eternity, before Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit ever created the world. He was the one chosen to be the Lamb before the foundation of the world. So this preparation that he's going through the cross the next day is in the plan of God. And in like manner, he has allocated you and I a day, this day to worship. He may allocate us tomorrow. We don't know that, but we have this day. Let's take advantage of it to the fullest. Not only had Jesus known Satan's trial and what he was trying to do to get Jesus to confuse the issue and go and sell him out to the Jews. He knew that. And he knows those disciples, rather than praying, he's already told them he's going to the cross. It fell on deaf ears. So many times God tells you and I individual things, and I'm afraid it may fall on deaf ears. We do not understand. We do not hear. And now they are fussing. They're trying to decide who among them will be the greatest, rather than seeking Christ's way. And now, not only that, but Jesus goes and in the midst of showing his affection and love for them, he washes their feet. And Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. But he understood, finally, he says, wash all of me, make me clean. And Jesus is showing himself to be a servant to them. He came to be a servant, to die for those that would love and follow him. And then, of course, that same day, Judas Iscariot was identified. Go and do what you have to do. So he left there. And then Jesus had not only the Passover meal, but now he instituted the Lord's Supper. And he gave them the wine, the drink. And he gave them the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body. As often as you do this, you do shew the Lord's death till he come, and the wine. And then after that, let's turn the Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. Been a busy day so far, preparation, telling his disciples to go out and prepare the place for the meal. Of course, God already had it planned. I already had some individual plan that. But now after the Passover meal, John chapter 14. Now I want to spend the next few minutes talking about the place that he has prepared, the preparation. Of course, it bothered Jesus that the disciples would be fussing who would be the greatest. And I'm afraid sometimes pride enters into the service or pride enters into someone's life, and they're thinking maybe about the pride, the things that we could do better than someone else. God help us never to be like that. But Satan has a way of instilling in people that desire. But now, in the midst of all that, after Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper, John chapter 14, he spends chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, and part of 18 telling them what he is going to accomplish after he goes to the cross. Of course, he's going to the cross. He knows that. He knows on the third day he will rise again. He knows how long he will be here walking the earth, showing himself to the disciples. He knows the moment and the day on the Mount of Olives when he takes his 11 disciples there. He loses his gravitational hold. And the Lord calls him back. And the disciples are there looking. He knows all that. But meantime, even though he's going to be tried and crucified, he is going to spend several minutes now talking about what he is going to accomplish. Let's spend just a few minutes looking how he has prepared for us a place in heaven. Chapter 14, the book of John, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that whether I am, there you may be also. He had been before the foundation of the world. This was going to be accomplished. That particular day was going to be the preceding day for his arrival. After this message, of course, he would be arrested, and he would be taken before the halls of Pilate and Herod. But before that, remember, after this message and these few chapters, he talks to us about how he lets us know what he's going to do for us by the death and by the crucifixion, by the resurrection, and by the ascension, and by taking the blood to the mercy seat there in heaven. He lets us know about this heavenly home, what he is doing for us. It's a wonderful time for us to realize what he has already accomplished, and he is now making preparations for that completion. And he said, when it's complete, I'll come and get you, and he's going to step on the clouds and come and get us. But remember, after this, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he bows and talks to the Father. He seeks his disciples' help, and he chooses Peter, James, and John to go and come inside the gate. He knows the rest of them's not going to do much, but he really had trusted Peter, John, and James to go a little bit closer with him to bow. He goes in agony and says, Father, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. But according to thy will be done. But what Jesus, no doubt, was dreading being a full man and full God, he was dreading the fact that he was going to have to become sin for you and I. See, he had never known sin. He had seen sin down in the world. He had seen Adam and Eve sin. He saw all the sins. He even saw your sins and mine before we were ever born. But now he was going to become that sin. For every sin that had ever been committed, he was going to be the perfect Lamb of God. And when he did that, he knew the Father, he and the Father are one, would have to turn his back on him so he could die. And he knew that. He came to die. That wasn't the problem. The problem was that he did not want to have that separation and have that sin and take that sin of yours and mine. But he was willing to do the will of the Father. That's why he came. And then, of course, he was arrested after that and taken to the halls of Pilate. But let's look briefly now at verses 1, 2, and 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. In the Greek, it's interesting, the word let and the word trouble is the same Greek word. That means don't let it come to your mind. Don't indulge in it. The worry that you have, don't let your heart be troubled. We're troubled about a lot of things. We're perplexed about a lot of things, but he said, don't let that happen. Cast the trouble away. How you do that? Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. So he says now there's a place, and this place he's talking about is a residence of God. God had been there before eternity. Remember, there was never a time when there wasn't God. There was never a time when there wasn't Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in their likeness, in their image. But now there is a residence of God. It's a place called heaven. It's a place where there's a throne. And in the book of Revelations, we see that he is seated on the throne at the right side of the Father. So he is identifying for us afresh and anew the place that he is going prepared. So he's, don't let your heart be troubled. I and the Father are one. And if you believe in me, all your sins can be, as a songwriter, a wonderful song service this morning, that Jesus Christ has nailed our sins to the cross. Future sins, present tense, past sins, all nailed to the cross at Calvary, accomplished. And all we have to do is admit it and tell him we're sorry for that sins and confess them. And he said, I'll be just and willing to forgive you of those sins. They must be forgiven and they must be acknowledged. And we must ask him to do that. And once we do, it is a done deal, a place called heaven. It was a place of paradise. The Bible calls it the third heaven, a place where God reigns. We have the first heaven where the birds fly, and we have a second heaven where the moon, the stars, the planets are. But beyond there is a place where we're going. And Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Another place said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I'm going to take you there. So don't worry about it. Troubles will come. A big trouble was coming for Jesus tomorrow. He was going to have to take your sins and mine. But yet he was willing to do that. The perfect love that a perfect God had for a perfect plan of salvation for you, for me. And he's telling his disciples, when you see all these things come to pass, just lift up your head. Your redemption draweth. Now, we live in a world of sin and sorrow. But one of these precious days, one golden daybreak, and Paul gives us a glimpse of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. We won't take time to read it, but remember, Paul, after 14 years, something had happened to him 14 years before the Lord, Holy Spirit let him tell about it, that he said there was a man once, I don't know, he wouldn't even identify himself. He did not want pride. Remember, he had those thorns in the flesh, and he was, God gave him those thorns so he wouldn't be lifted up in pride. And now, he says, 14 years later, there was a man called up into heaven, paradise. It's a place I couldn't describe. There's not words in the human language to describe it. And God allowed me to see it. And now he gives us a glimpse. Paul had a glimpse. Paul had the, whether he said, I don't know if I was in the flesh or it's a vision, but it was a real place. God let me see it. And then John, of course, the Isle of Patmos, also had the same situation, and he beheld it. So there is a place of paradise. And he said, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God and you believe in me, then you'll know that you were born in sin, shaping iniquity. And if you'll realize that I'm going to the cross, and you and I look back, he has gone to the cross. He has given his life. He has shed his blood. He has been resurrected. He went to heaven. The blood's on the mercy seat. And he said, don't worry about it. Have no fear, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. Not only is a residence of God, but it's a realm of glory. Down here we see every hand. Things may start looking good for an hour or two, but Satan's still alive and on the scene. He's got millions and millions of people on planet Earth that he uses and works through. But he said, beyond that, don't have any fear, don't have any worry. This place called heaven, this residence of God, is a realm of glory. Don't let your heart be troubled. It was created by God. God is in command. He's in charge of everything, or he's not in charge of anything. He's in charge of everything. If he's in charge of the wind, the storms, all the rainbows, everything God's in charge of. He's in charge of your life and mine. Sometimes we think we're in charge, and sometimes he lets us get by thinking we're in charge, and he'll let us go our way. But once we deviate from the plan he has for us, if you're saved by the grace of God, he quickly can bring you back to recognize who he is. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, yeah, in this realm of glory, he said, there are mansions. That's about all we know about it. He said, I'm going to create those. And when I get everything finished up there, where's God today in heaven? Preparing that wonderful place for you and I. And not only the realm of glory, but it's a place where all the commands are carried out. Remember, he can send angels, and he has in the past in the scripture, on an instant. Jeremiah said in another place that he saw an angel left, and it flew swiftly. Didn't take very long to get from the third heaven through the second heaven down through the first heaven, and there to take care of God's business. He has all the capabilities of taking care of everything according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And it's a place where there's comfort. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. He is a comforter. If we bring our burdens and their cares and all the sorrows that we have and we just present to him, he said, I'm the comforter. I'll give you peace. Not as the world giveth. The world talks about peace. And as soon as they sign the peace treaty, we go back in history, all the peace treaties that signed, just a matter of time and they'll be broken. Why? Because man is in charge of them. But now God has given a treaty. He has given a commandment. He has given a covenant with you and I that if we'll bring our troubles to him and we will commit our life to him and ask him to forgive us sins, he gives us comfort. The world can't do that, and the world can't give you peace. But he said, I'll give you peace, not as the world does. It'll be my peace. And that's the only everlasting peace, a peace that comes from the precious throne of God, the rim of glory. And then, of course, from there is redeeming amazing grace. We heard some beautiful songs this morning about redeeming grace. Man has sinned, transgressed, and there's a process called redemption. Satan sold us out, and Adam didn't have to. Adam and Eve received what Satan wanted them to do, and now they turned God down, and they were bought out by Satan, and they gladly relinquished the authority that God had given them. And you're now born in that sin because Adam is the father and Eve is the mother of all living, every one of us. Eve is our mother, our great, 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 all the way back. And we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. God gives grace. Once salvation was accomplished through the death, burial, resurrection, the prophets of old and the people before Christ, they look forward to the cross. But thank God he has risen, he has ascended, and he's coming back, and now we look back at the cross, and everything was accomplished. And this is a day. A lot of things are happening. And this wonderful message, we don't have time to read verses, the rest of this chapter, or even verses 1 through the rest of them in 15 and 16. But he preaches this message, comforting message. It's a rim of glory. It's a place where there is grace. He is a place where it set the captives free. Not only that, but let's look at the rewards that we're going to get when there's a place called heaven. It's a place of redemption that already has been accomplished at Calvary. And now it's a place of rewards. I don't know about you, but I'm afraid some of us may not have as many rewards as we think we're going to have. Why? Because that plan of his, that perfect plan, makes sure that we identify with his purpose for our lives. What would he have me do? And I keep wanting your minds to go back, what if this was our last day? One day it will. And Jesus, when he went to the cross, he said he had accomplished everything. Everything the Father had sent him to do. And one of these days we'll find out how much percentage we've accomplished what he wanted us to do. We'll stand there and all the rewards we think we'll get for preaching or singing or being a good father, whatever. Oh, how we failed him. But thank God he forgives us. Forgiveness puts us back on the right slate and on the right communion with him. But at the same time, the rewards are there according to our ability and our desire to follow him and to do what he directs us to do. And we realize that once we're up there in that place of redemption, that place of redeeming grace, we won't have to worry about looking back today. Today we look on the horizon. You don't have to look far. And you see all the millions and millions of murders that our nation and other nations have committed by making it so-called law to let women kill their babies. You won't have that anymore. Redeeming grace. You don't have to worry about all the deaths. Every one of us, no doubt here, young people and old alike, has gone to a funeral at one time or another. May have been a mother or father. May have been a son or a daughter, a grandchild, a brother or sister, someone very close to you. But thank God when we get home, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Everything that we're going through, the death, the sorrow, the sickness, all the things on earth that we see will pass. And then because of what Christ is going to accomplish the next day on the cross, and by resurrecting on the third day, all these former things are passed away. Goodbyes and no more separations. Sometimes there's separations. Husband and wives at one time said, I love you, and something happens across the course of time, and they fall out of love, so they say, separations. But thank God. And a lot of people say that I'm going to follow you, Lord, and they come to an altar, they go under an oak tree or a pine tree somewhere, and they say, Lord, if you will save me, I'll live for you. Forgive me my sins. And I'm not saying they did or didn't, but somehow they break that covenant. They aren't faithful to church anymore. They're not faithful to do the things of God anymore. And pretty soon, Satan seems like he's using them more than they're being used of God. Oh, but when we all get home, oh, yes, those people, if they are saved, they won't have many rewards. Some are just saved as though by fire. But thank God that we have this occasion, another day, this day, that we can just let God search your heart. And Lord, what if this was the last day? What if this was the next to the last day? We'll have to confess that none of us here has done all we ought to do. But that's a given fact. God knows that. But we could make up our minds this morning, as Joshua did, as for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. Satan will hinder, come against you, and their flesh is against us also. But thank God, greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. And if you really desire, like Christ did, he was going to accomplish everything the Father had for him. And now he has given this message, not only to his disciples, but to you and I today. He knew that we'd be standing here reading this, and you would be hearing it. So we don't let our hearts be troubled. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And if he's gone, he's coming again. And there will be no separations, no more sorrows, no more things to hinder. One glorious night, because there's one glorious day, there's no night. There's just eternity with the Lord our God. The mansions, I don't understand all of that, but he said we'll have mansions. So if we look at buildings down here and we say, wow, that's pretty impressive. Think about what he's going to build up there when there is no sin, there's no sorrow. I would have loved to have seen the beautiful temple that Solomon built. All the gold, the silver, and all the beautiful carvings he had. Everything was designed by God. He gave a pattern to it. And man did their very best. They'd haul those large columns in, and they wouldn't have to even chisel them or even use shims in them. When they got there, wasn't any ringing of the hammer on those temples, but it's all prepared somewhere else. And God is preparing a place in heaven today, and no one's going to interfere with his plans. We're going to get to enjoy those plans. And I'm sure that there are rebellions going on today. A lot of people that once knew God said they knew God, they rebelled against God. And the world is rebelling against God. They hate the fact, the world does, that you and I are being able to assemble ourselves this morning. They hate the fact that the internet God has allowed us to use is going out. They'd like to stop that if they can, to send the gospel out. They'd like to stop all that, but God has given us this space of time. And though the rebellion is out there and keeps growing day by day, thank God he is coming again. But in closing, the question is, are you going? He said, I'm preparing a place. He did go to Calvary. He shed his blood. He arose. He ascended. And he says, the songwriter said, just come on home. Come on home. But you have to make that decision. You're standing this morning, your head's bowed. Miss, you have a song for us, maybe your group, whoever. Just trust God this morning. And don't be one of those people that rebels. The world's rebelling. Satan has rebelled already. And many people throughout the coast of our nation and all through the heart of our nation and all across the world, they've rebelled on God. But that's them, and this is you, and it's me. Don't rebel on God. What will God have me to do? If you're saved, get on board with his plan. Jesus accomplished all that much. scriptures couldn't even begin to enlighten us with how much he accomplished that day before the crucifixion. But you have this day, and I have this day. May not have another day, but if you do, what will we do with Jesus? And if you're here this morning, and you're lost, and you've rebelled on him, whether it's pride, whether it's the fact that you said it earlier on in your life, I'm saved, when you know that that didn't happen, some of you. But what will you do this day? The disciples were fussing who's going to be the greatest. The chief priests, who were supposed to be worshiping the Lamb of God, were trying to find occasion to kill the Lamb of God. But you this morning, it's your own decision. Don't matter what the priest did. It doesn't matter what Judas Iscariot did. Doesn't matter what the disciples did. What will you do this morning about that rebellion in your heart? You say, don't have any. If you don't have any rebellion in your heart, then you'll say to him, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow you. Your heads are bowed. Misty?
Beyond the borders of time, there's a beautiful land. The word of God, its glory unfurls. And by the grace of God, I someday
service. I don't think I have ever been in a service where the altar call was sung. Gina, I appreciate you singing it. If people just take notice this morning, in our choir, we sung Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Then Jesus sung, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Yes.
God does things in mysterious ways this morning. I've never heard it, an altar call sung.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you preached on.
Mm-hmm.
You preached on heaven then.
Yeah.
And it, I've been saved a long time, but I have never, this is strange to me this morning. After she sung softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. My song this week has been going home to be with Jesus. And it's just worked.
Sure.
The scriptures, the songs that were sung.
Uh-huh.
People, it's different. Somebody needs to do something.
Yes.
This morning.
Amen.
And on all week long, I have sung going home. And you know, after the song was sung, come unto me. Sinners, if you're not saved, if you're wishy-washy, people, I'm doing what God told me to do this morning.
Amen. Yes.
Somebody needs to make a change this morning.
Amen.
People, this life is short. Sometimes I feel like I'm real young again. But then, you know, sometimes the devil will put you down no matter what you try to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to put you down. But people, I'm scared to death. But let not my heart be troubled, because I know God is coming.
Yes.
He's coming. And I have sung this song all week long.
Amen.
And I've heard this saying, here she comes.
Mm-mm.
There she goes, and here she comes. That's going to happen one day.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen one day. We're going all face God.
Yes.
Whether we're saved, whether we're lost, people, eternity is coming. I'm going to sing this song. The devil has fought me all week long, but I'm going to try it.
Amen.
I am just a weary pilgrim here, waiting for my final call. Christ is leaving, and I have no fear. He will never let me fall.
Amen.
Going home to be with Jesus. Going home to die no more.
Glory.
When this weary march has ended down here, I'll find rest on yonder shore. I can see the love lights gleaming now in the distant scenes of time. When Christ stands up on Mount Olive's brow and the sacred home bells chime, I'll keep singing as I travel on.
Yes.
In the bright and shining way, ever looking for the golden dawn of that never-ending day.
Yes.
Thank you, God, for giving me strength to come to church. Thank you, God, for letting me stand up. People,
yes.
I'm not ashamed.
Never.
I'm not ashamed.
Never.
Lord, I wouldn't be up here trying to tell you people this in myself.
No, no.
God's judging me, Roy.
Yes, he is.
Thank the Lord. God saved me a long time ago.
Yes.
If you have to cross chilly Jordan, before I knew. Tell my friend on the other side of Jordan
yes.
that I will be there soon. Then we'll talk it over how Jesus paid the cost.
Yes.
How he died to save us and hung on the cross. Tell my darling mother how I miss her. And tell my daddy too. Tell them both just to wait by the river that I will be there soon. People, let not your heart be troubled. People, just think about how this has turned out today.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, that invitation song. People, if you're not ready to go, that should be your first thing.
Yes. Up here.
Come, and the song at the choir sung, come unto me. And then, you know, the other song we sung, it is well with my soul.
Yes.
I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. People pay it. Don't pay. Yes, pay attention to what I've said, because it's for somebody.
Yes.
I feel that in my heart.
Yes.
Well, I've done what God told me to.
Amen.
Have you done what God told you to do?
Amen. Amen.
God, I didn't know I was going to do all this, but thank you, God. It's for somebody.
Sure it is. Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Pray for me that God will give me health and strength and help me never to get up and say, I'm saved, I'm saved. Don't be ashamed.
Never.
People will stand before a bigger congregation this one
sure.
day. Whether we're saved or not,
yes.
we'll stand before him. People, he's coming again. I need to hush, but thank you, God.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Love
Amen.
You,
love you, girl. Amen. Someone help her down, if you will, please.
Play that one more song of invitation. Your heart was trembling fast. Some of you, no doubt, and you know that you need to get saved. Last stanza, one more chapter, one more. Would you come? Thank you. Thank you for reminding the Lord that was of God. Everything this morning was of God. He orders the services, not me. We just follow directions. He's in charge. Your heads are bowed. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Miss Murray and her obedience to you. Thank you for the precious Holy Ghost that directed the order of the service, as you always do. And Lord, you're directing hearts right now to follow you, ask for forgiveness and repentance. I pray that they will not rebel. They will not say anything except, Lord, forgive me. Help them to say that, Lord, and confess their sins. They acknowledge you, your Savior. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing, everything you have done, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Brother Josh, if you'll come up here and ask the blessings. Thank you for preparing the meal today for Brother Guy and Brother David and myself, Pastor's Appreciation. And we do appreciate you, and thank you for showing this love toward us. We love you.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for another day, another opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, we thank you for that preparation, Lord, that you made for our salvation. And I pray, Lord, thank you that there's still room at the cross. Lord, I pray, Lord, to thank you for each and every one that prepared food and came this way. And I pray that you'll bless and food and nourish our body and by thine service. And thank you for our pastors, Lord, and I pray that you'll bless them, Lord, in a great and mighty way. And I pray you'll lead this church in the way that you want it to go. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise.